Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we had a chance to talk to our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, again. And then lastly, we've got some great early ice fishing tips for you from Hayward Area Fishing Guide, Eric Tuohy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get on the water today with the Lund Catch of the Year at Hayward Power Sports. We have Lunds in stock, rigged and ready with Mercury outboards. Save $1,000 on a 1650 Angler SS, $2,500 on a Lund Impact, or a whopping $3,000 on a 1975 Pro V Sport. Lund features boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage. And no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Hi, this is Ann the Tool Girl from M&M Rental. Here at M&M Rental, we have it all for you do-it-yourselfers and contractors. Concrete tools, metal brakes, man lifts, log splitters, skid steers, and everything you'll need for excavating and trenching, plus much more. And for fun on the water, we have jet skis, ski boats, pontoon boats, fishing boats, kayaks too. From lawn care equipment to tools and sporty goods, we have it all and we deliver. Give us a call at 634-3146. M&M Rental, located on Highway B, Hayward.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and I got Jarrett McCarthy in here. Jarrett, big difference between last week we recorded the show and this week, and now we can start talking ice fishing almost.
Oh, I'm so excited. We got cold weather. We got snow out there. We got a whole bunch of skim ice all over the lakes. I'm still in shorts, but, you know, I will be. Yeah.
You know, on the way in, like everybody knows that we record this a week ahead of time, the first part of the week, actually. And I driving in, there was a bunch of water froze. I was Twin Lakes, everything on the Tiger Cat side was solid ice, and the other side was ice around all the coves and the corners already.
Yep. Nothing, you know, near safe enough to try and venture out on, but it's starting, and looks like over the next week and a half, we're going to have some really solid ice-making weather.
Well, you know, safe recommendations is 4 inches for foot travel, I believe. And, you know, there'll be guys out on a lot less than that, I know, but the recommendation is 4.
Yep, I usually aim for about 3, but, I mean, 3 is good, solid, you know, ice out there, and, you know, nothing that's white and flaky out there or what have you. But 4 is really good standard to go by.
I do know here, just as of the last weekend, some of the friends of mine were out musky fishing, so there were a few guys out there in the snow and trying to battle the weather to do some open water fishing yet, though.
Yeah, and we're still seeing a handful of guys headed out there. They're in here to grab the last of the suckers that we've got, but there's still a few boats out there. They're catching some really nice, healthy-looking fish or what have you, but yeah, you got to be a tough son of a gun to get out there and get on those fish when it's this cold out there.
Let's talk about, did you heard anybody else other than muskies out there fishing, though, or Dell? Did it wrap the season up?
No, not at all. It's just musky fishermen from what we're hearing right now.
You bet. Let's talk about upcoming ice fishing. You know, what do you think it's going to be like? I know we're coming out of the fall with a lot of food in the lakes. We had a tremendous amount of forage for these fish. We had all the bug hatches. We had fry, minnows. These fish, come in the fall here, a lot of these fish were really heavy. They had a lot of weight on them. And they're still eating good. And with that much food out there, what do you think we're going to have?
I think it'll still be a good early ice season. You know, we've got a lot of food in the systems right now, but, you know, looking forward to winter, a lot of those fish should still continue to pack on weight until we hit, you know, end of December, and then we'll get into the really cold January, February, like we usually do, when they'll really slow down, they'll really start getting picky with their food. But I think we're in for a really good early ice season.
You know, and a lot of people think deep water. That's the thing in their mind goes in the fall, especially. Later we go, the deeper we go on a lot of species, but you can't get at that deeper water in the early part of the ice season, but yet there's going to be a lot of fish that are up shallow.
There really will be, and that's what a lot of fish will do on a lot of our systems, is that all the remaining weed growth that you've got up shallow is going to draw a lot of your little minnows, a lot of your insects, you know, the bottom part of the food chain, and that'll in turn bring in your panfish, and then obviously your game fish will follow your panfish. So, you know, early ice, one of the things that I really like to do is I target those shallower weeds. And I mean, you can be in as shallow as 2 or 3 feet of water, but you know, as long as those weeds are healthy and you know, somewhat green or whatever, they're going to attract fish. Now, getting out on those weeds is going to be just as hairy as going out onto deeper water, not because it's not safe, but because if you're in such shallow water, any tiny little step, any movement you make, things scatter really, really fast. So if you're looking to get out on early ice panfish, early ice walleye, get out there early, set up, quit making so much noise on the ice, and just sit and camp on a spot, or, you know, do your best not to make as much noise out there, because that's going to be key on early ice.
You know, and you mentioned weeds and green weeds, and if you got a question, if you can't pull some weeds up, you can drop an AquaView or something down and take a look. You can see if you've got green weeds, because once the weeds start to brown up, they eat the oxygen up. But you were talking about the fish being kind of spooky. It's unbelievable how spooky they can get, even once they move out in deeper water.
Oh, of course. You know, even when they're moving out into 10, 15 feet of water, you know, when you're walking around, or you have, you know, when we get good ice out there and you've got your wheelers and your, or even a truck, you know, around here, that's going to displace a lot of fish. And a lot of times you're going to have to sit and wait for about a half hour until those fish calm down and start moving back in. So, you know, noise isn't just something that you have to worry about early ice. It's throughout the ice season.
I know one of my friends, one of the guys up here, actually runs a Garmin LiveScope. I do in my boat. I'm going to be running one ice fishing this year. But the live sonar, he was watching fish, and he was kind of surprised with a snowmobile or an ATV or a truck drove by, even at quite a distance away, how the fish reacted negatively by scattering or leaving.
Yep. Those fish aren't dumb underneath the water. They'll feel your presence, whether you're, you know, directly over them or if you're off a ways. So, you know, if you're out scouting looking for fish, you know, sometimes your best option is just to park in one area and just go make a radius around your vehicle, drill a whole bunch of holes, come back to your holes after you've drilled them, after it's had time to set, and then take your look. Don't base whether a fish is there or not on your very first hole that you drill, because a lot of times you're going to spook everything out of there, and you're going to have to wait a little bit for those fish to calm down and come back.
You know, one of the guides I used to know up here, he used to drive around with the truck to get, if there were nothing going on, he'd drive around to all the tip-ups with the truck to get, he said, get the pike moving around, and then he'd start getting flags too. I guess it gets fish moving, I guess.
Yeah, we've done that too. We call those fish drives. Whenever we have a slow day out on the ice, everybody will jump on the snowmobile or the four-wheeler, and we'll go do laps around the tip-ups. We'll wait about 5 minutes, and then off we'll go to a flag.
You know, and you know, that spooky fish thing, it's not just a winter thing. I want to make a point on this. It happens in the summertime too. I remember one time we were on one of the lakes up here. We had a tremendous walleye bite going, and we were in like 15 to 17 feet of water. And the guy in the front of the boat, remember the boat I was using had one of them plastic live well lids. He slammed the lid shut on it, and boy, I could see the fish disappear on my screen. And that was the end of that walleye bite, because even 15, 16 feet over the top of them jigging, boy, that thump in the bottom of the boat, they beat it.
Yeah, and there they were, gone. Yep.
Well, let's talk about, you know, what do we expect to be catching early in the season? I know walleye is a big thing everybody goes after.
Yeah, walleyes will be the number one fish on everybody's list around here. It seems like early ice walleyes are probably some of the easiest times throughout the winter that you're going to be able to get on walleye. And you're also going to have some guys that are out looking for pike, crappie, bluegill. There's even a couple places around here where you can get some perch. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of species that you can go out and target and have success with early ice.
You know, and pike, I want to remind people, pike are just as good eating as walleyes, I think, and there's a lot more plentiful up here.
Yep, they got a really, really good white meat. You can do so many different things with them. You can pickle them, you can fry them. So, yeah, I mean, don't be afraid to keep a pike and try it. They're just as good as walleye.
Let's talk about shop here real quick. You guys are all geared up for the ice fishing season and for the hunting season, which, you know, as this airs, it'll be the deer season weekend, you know. So you're geared up for all that stuff, and you got a lot of new product in here.
Yeah, we sure do. We're set up really well for ice this year. We've still got product coming through the door. You know, we just had a couple different boxes of 13 fishing come through. So got a lot of new product. We got a lot of, you know, old standby product, you know, your beaver dams, your ice augers and what have you. But we're ready for you, whether it be ice fishing, whether it be hunting. We're here for you.
Yeah, I hope everybody out there has a good deer season this year, too.
Yep. Sounds like it's going to be a cold one this coming weekend.
It's nothing new for me. I've been up here 40-some years. Anyway, Jared, I want to thank you for coming on here.
Thanks for having me again, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible for you every week. And when we come back, we'll be talking to our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Sea-Doo pre-order sales event is on at Hayward Power Sports. The best way to guarantee a new 2023 for next year and the only way to get the Sea-Doo RXPX Apex 300 Exclusive Edition. As a bonus, you'll get 2 years of BRP warranty coverage for free. Whether you're looking for a traditional Sea-Doo personal watercraft or a Sea-Doo switch pontoon boat, this is the best way to get what you want. Or we still have a few 2022 models in stock that offer no payments and no interest financing for 6 months. See Hayward Power Sports today, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the people we get on here from time to time is our local Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources fisheries biologist, Max Walter. Had a chance to talk to Max the other day on the phone about some of the projects that the DNR is involved in.
And Max, good to have you on the show here again.
Thanks for having me, yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the projects that the DNR is looking at doing. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do to improve not only the fish habitat out there on our lakes and the access and just a lot of different things that would make it easier for people to get out there fishing and maybe more productive for the fishing and for the fish.
Exactly, yeah. You know, when you go to a group of anglers and you say, what sort of stuff would you like us to be working on? Habitat's always at the top of the list. It's incredibly popular. Everybody likes the idea of protecting habitat, enhancing habitat, making habitat better. And we agree, you know, habitat is an important thing in having a productive fishery. So there's a lot of different projects that we work on. One of the ones would be like fish cribs. The more recent iteration is tree drops and kind of that nearshore woody stuff that's a little bit more natural. But those are all just kind of different flavors of adding woody structure to lakes. And that's been done all over, especially the fish crib stuff.
Fish cribs are always a project that they think about first before they think about shallower water cover. But there's times when the fish won't use the cribs and they'd be a bit more beneficial to have shallow water cover, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. And I've gone around the area and I've talked about this a lot, especially with lake associations and groups that, you know, cribs are popular. They were very in vogue in the 90s, especially maybe even before that. But really what we're pushing now is We're saying there's probably enough cribs out there, and cribs aren't really mimicking natural habitat in a lot of cases, but we've lost all this wood along the shoreline through a variety of means, partly because a lot of the lake shorelines were logged, you know, earlier in the 1900s and late 1800s, and that changed, you know, the natural recruitment, the ability for wood to fall into the water naturally, because a lot of those trees are now younger. The other thing that happened is the shorelines got developed, and as they got developed, people hauled wood out or prevented trees from falling into the lake. They cut them up and took them elsewhere. So that's it's a habitat type that is severely lacking compared to what these lakes looked like naturally hundreds of years ago. So that's something we're really promoting. There's a couple different ways to get it done. It's easier now than probably it has ever been. From a permitting standpoint, and you do need a permit on most of our lakes to add trees, and also just from a funding standpoint, we have grants available for lake associations that want to do these projects. We have done a lot through my team. I have some really good technicians that have added lots and lots of trees, especially along state-owned shorelines, because, you know, there we, the DNR, are the property managers, so we get to make those decisions. But the big challenge is private shorelines. It would obviously, we can't come along and say, yes, you're going to drop this tree on the shoreline, you know, and make those decisions for private landowners. They have to decide that they're interested in those projects. So we've been trying to promote them, trying to talk to people like this about what the benefits are. And there's a ton. There's tons of benefits. So, you know, better bass, better bluegill, perch spawning area, juvenile muskie really like hanging out in trees. You get wildlife benefits. So lots of reasons to do it, and that's why we've been, you know, pushing that at a whole bunch of lakes throughout the area.
Well, you know, interesting you're talking about that because, you know, I see a lot of people want that cleaned up on the shoreline. They want that out of the shoreline. They think it looks more natural, but, you know, somewhere along the line, I've had this on the radio show before. I don't know if it was Frank Pratt was talking about it. I think it was, but you know, historically, they estimate maybe as much as 500 pieces of big wood cover per mile of waterway shorelines. Historically, yeah. Going way back before, that's an incredible amount of wood compared to what there is today.
Yeah, picture that. You know, it's 5,000 feet a mile and 500 pieces of wood, so there's one about every 10 feet. Which is, you know, it's kind of crazy to picture, but if you do go to some lakes in the national forest or county forest areas that, you know, haven't been developed, that's what you'll see. There's tons of wood in the water and the fish really respond to that. Wood is a source of food for fish. You know, you think about how much fish biomass, poundage of fish a lake can produce, and it's supported by having more trees in the water because there's bugs eating those trees. The fish eat the bugs. You get more fish. It's actually pretty straightforward. I mean, when you take all that stuff out, you have a more sterile environment and you lose some of your ability to grow fish. So,
well, some people, you know, will say, well, you know, we got plenty of weeds. We don't need the wood, but you know, that weeds don't necessarily always equate to the same thing as the wood cover along shoreline either.
That's correct. Yeah. And really what you want is both, right? I mean, it's not an either or where you say we can get rid of this type because, you know, they'll be happy enough with the other type. Our lakes had both, you know, historically, naturally. And so, fish are looking for different things at different points in time. Aquatic insects are looking for different things at different points in time. There's a lot of difference between that dead wood in the water and the living plants in the water, too, as far as what's there at different seasons and what's available to fish.
Well, you know, just in my time up here over 40 years, I've seen some lakes up here where they went from, you know, originally they probably had a lot of wood, but then there was very little wood, more houses, and then they went from where you had no weed cover. I mean, you had like rusty crayfish and stuff, and you had no weed cover to where they dumped a ton of cribs in the lakes to kind of compensate for that, but that didn't cover the shallow water cover so much. But then you got weeds in there, and you got exotic weeds like Eurasian milfoil, which basically the fish relate to like crazy, but that also could create a problem too. But there's been a change, and fish like to have, they got to have a place to live and a place to cover, whether it's weeds, of any kind of weeds, and basically you've got to have wood there too sometimes.
Right, yeah, you want that diversity, and that's true within the plant community too. So, you know, the big concern with invasive species like a Eurasian milfoil is that it's going to outcompete a lot of the native plants, and you're going to eventually wind up with less plant diversity, less different types of plants. And when you lose that diversity, you know, you're going to lose different available habitats for fish, because different plants grow at different times of the year, they have different shapes, they support different bugs, so you really want to try to maintain that diversity, and that's a big reason behind the push, the AIS push, to try to keep Eurasian milfoil and some of these other invasives from becoming hyper-prevalent and abundant in our lakes.
Yeah, and that all depends on the lake, too. I think some lakes are more susceptible to being really crowded out by exotic weeds other than others. And there's just so many things out there nowadays. Minnesota now, for instance, they've got, zebra mussels in almost all the lakes over there. We're fortunate we haven't got them too far over here yet, but that stuff just keeps spreading. And I think more people that are going outdoors now and traveling from lake to lake and stuff ought to be more aware of some of that stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. Zebra mussels are a huge game changer for a lake, and usually not in positive ways. So, that's one we'd really, really like to avoid out here. I'm very appreciative of all the lake associations and how diligent they have been with their invasive species efforts. But yeah, it's a huge challenge in a more connected world. I mean, our lakes would have never really experienced these types of invaders, certainly not as frequently as they experienced new invaders over the years.
How about lake access? I mean, we're seeing like right now, especially places like the Chippewa Flowage, I mean, you can't hardly find a place to park down there now, and the parking lots are just not big enough for the number of people that are going out there now, and then we're limited as to where people with disabilities can actually get to the water.
Yeah, great point. Lots of good things happening in that front. It's not always happening super fast because these tend to be more expensive projects, but we have a really good team here in Hayward, run by Dan Yankoviak, who they work on all the ramps and they have plans for updating ramps. They've done some in the area in recent years to make those more usable, to build in some of those ADA compliant features so folks with disabilities can get out on a boat easier. We're also looking for opportunities to do more with ADA access for shore fishing. So we have the pier on Lake Hayward, and we have the pier on the Chippewa Flowage, but we're looking for opportunities to do more things like that. Just last month, we got ADA piers in at two spots on the Couderay River, so folks can float from the town of Couderay down to the town of Radisson, about a 5-mile float, really going to be beautiful. And we have really nice docks out there now to help facilitate getting people out there. And I think this is a great opportunity to do this type of stuff. So we're offering our incredible fisheries to more people. And that's good from a tourism standpoint. I think it's just good from a cultural and a fairness standpoint. And what better place to do it here than, the original home of fishing has no boundaries. So, fishing in Hayward should be for everybody, and we're doing what we can to kind of move it in that direction.
Well, the one thing I've noticed with your ADA sites now is that most of them are related to shallow water habitat, like the one in Drazio Bay there on the Chippewa Flowage. And is there any plans to put anything to access deeper water for maybe later in the year or other times of the year where they'd be along a shoreline that breaks into deeper water or something?
Yes, there is. That is right on the top of our list. We have a couple sites that we're eyeballing for that kind of thing, too. And I'm really picky about the sites that we choose for these things. I've seen enough cases where there's been good intentions about putting a pier somewhere, but they just put it out there and they're not really thinking about what the actual fishing opportunities are, and it winds up being kind of a, not very exciting area to fish. We're targeting places that we know are going to have good fishing, where there's going to be fish nearby pretty much, all times of the year where folks might be using it. So that's really important to me. And I think your note about deep water habitat is really important. We picked Durazio Bay because we know it's fantastic fishing, especially for the months of kind of May and June early in the year. But we would like to have some more of those options for other times of the year too.
And talking about boat ramps, you mentioned the ramps before too. Any future plans for trying to expand the parking and some of the ramps and some of the landings?
Yeah, that's can be a challenging thing. And you mentioned the Chippewa Flowage. There, we have a master planning process that actually dictates exactly how many parking spots we're allowed to have out there. So that one's kind of a challenge from that standpoint, but, certainly something that we'll be looking at as we update that plan. Other landings, we are trying to make a little bit more parking. So saw that when we updated Sand Lake or Blaisdell Lake in recent years. And we know there's a lot of people coming to use these lakes. And so we want to make sure that we can accommodate everyone, regardless of, any physical abilities and trying to make sure that there's a spot for folks even on some of those busiest weekends.
Yeah, well, a lot of good information there, Max. I appreciate you taking the time to inform us on this stuff.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you, Max.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we've got some great ice fishing tips for you from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, with the ice fishing season starting to get underway here pretty soon, on this week's show, we've got some great early ice fishing tips for you from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy.
Eric, I know you guide for ice fishing. You go out the first part of the season. I know most of the guys will set out a lot of tip-ups, and that's all they want to set out. But you try jig fishing for the walleye some?
Oh, absolutely. About 95% of my fishing is almost always jig fishing. So I like to, you know, sometimes you get it, you know, a spot to where you can really lock and load, especially during the witching hours of the day to where, you know, you're going to find success. But it is convenient to be able to move around, be able to run and gun, have a little bit of that mentality. Sometimes it's small, little minor things like just finding a little bit of sand grass on the bottom, you know, just a little bit of weeds on that bottom. You'll mark it on your Vexlar, and you could be 10 feet over, and you may not see it. The guy fishing 10 feet over or 5 feet over, it can be a world of difference on how well you're fishing versus he's fishing.
Any tips on the guys as far as the type, how you use your presentation on a jig fishing or the line you use and stuff?
Yeah, so generally in the early season, I'm a firm believer with the PowerPro ice line. It's a great line. I still utilize a fluorocarbon leader with that. So off my main braided line, I run a ball bearing swivel. From there, I run, you know, about 2 feet of fluorocarbon. Typically Seaguar, typically somewhere between 6 to 8 pound test. That, you know, you still got to watch and manage your drag. But from there, I like to use a lot of real active jigging presentation. So I'm using a lot of jigging wraps. Acme's got some other glide baits as well that have been very productive, especially in the early ice season. And what we're doing is we're just trying to find, you know, good structure, good steep breaks, anything like that. And when you're jigging those, you know, giving it 2-3 pumps, you know, just to get that bait gliding and then let it stop, let it sit for a minute. And then a lot of times what you're doing is you're calling that fish in. You're going to see that fish slide in off the bottom. Sometimes they'll come right up and smoke it, but sometimes you just slowly start to raise it, and that fish will chase it right up and hammer it.
You know, you mentioned the fluorocarbon. You know, some guys will try fishing with just a braided line, and one thing you've got to worry about the line visibility, but the other thing is that the fluorocarbon is a little stiffer, and you don't wind up getting that fouled jigging spoon or whatever that you'll get that you will with the, you know, with the braided line.
Yeah, and some of these baits, they're so, they, you know, even with a simple, you know, short little jigging stroke, they're still really aggressive style baits. So there's a lot of movement and everything that's going on. So being able to correlate that with a good swivel, you're going to get less line twists. You're not going to have any issues on that. And going off of what you said with the fluorocarbon, you know, there's definitely a place for it. And eventually, you know, I'll switch out and I'll be running even just a straight monofilament. And you can get away with just running straight braid tied right to the hook, but there are huge advantages to how we set this up.
Eric, I want to thank you for doing all that stuff. You want to give out your guide information? Somebody looking for a guide this winter?
Absolutely, yeah. If you're looking to get out on an ice fishing adventure, you can reach me at 612-384-9127.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.